Hello and welcome to another episode of Caps Lock Mini. This episode, we're going to be talking all about the OBL, those mythical beasts that I only really recently learnt about myself, but Martin has got a little bit more info and background onto these little cars. So let's dive straight in. I didn't know what an OBL was until you told me what an OBL was. And then obviously, albeit in our own little echo chamber on things like Facebook, they became a bit of a cult thing. And from our chat, I discovered the Y Register group on Facebook, which I must say is the best car community, friendly, welcoming and knowledgeable set of people I've just ever met. And I've been in a few different car type gathering groups, online forums and whatever, but the Y-Reg people are truly, truly great. They really are brilliant.
Absolutely, yeah. It reminds me a lot of, like, I was in the first Mini 2 community and, yeah, it's quite interesting. It seems like it's come full circle with the Y-Register, I think.
But, yeah.
Yeah, great bunch of people. I thoroughly enjoy. Met some good people, you know, and it's nice that people like yourself, who I've known since before then, have come along and joined us on the trip, really, more than anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'll definitely try and get some guests on in later episodes, perhaps from some of these groups, because there is a wealth of knowledge around early Mini. From my point of view, which I guess is consumer, buyer, but certainly there's a couple who just know from restoration, you know, the brilliant little bits of design that are on the cars. So OBL, my understanding, usually Express, variety of specs. There's ones, there's Coopers, there's Indie Blues, there's Blacks, there's Silver and Blacks, there's White and Reds. And then they went to 51 plate.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can fill you in from the, what I understand, and there are probably I've got a dog barking here.
Another Mini fan. Well, of course, Mini announced this week that they have a new dog ambassador.
They do, Alan Carr.
So you're only aligned with the brand
this
there.
Is it. I suppose it gives some sort of humility towards the podcast as well, having a dog woofing in the
absolutely.
Back. Anyway, going back to the story, I was lucky enough to go on the UK launch, and like most of the cars on that UK driving event were OBL registered Coopers in red and white, like mine, or silver and black, which are the highest spec ones. So they had the spoiler, fancy five spoke wheels, the punch leather interior, the auto changer, etc. Coopers are a bit of an odd mix of specs, so not really one or another, although they kind of got mixes of all that. Anyway, those cars, yes, they were very, very early cars, you know, they're pre-prod April build cars, most of those, although they do stretch across, from what I understand, to more production from May onwards, but were still, some were pressed, mine wasn't, mine's a dealer training car, which I've got all the, so it went round went round hotels, funnily enough.
Interesting.
Yeah, they used to have training at the hotels around Birmingham and stuff. It went all over the place. I've got all the logs for it. And it was basically went to these hotel training areas, and they were trained on the car or shown the car, I believe, and it was one of those. But mine is not. I mean, one of the wonderful things about the Y Register is, like, a lot of the people, a lot of the owners on there know exactly where their cars are, and there are people actually in the register who actually actively search for, you know, press stuff of the time with these cars, because most of them became press cars after the launch. But they aren't just OBL, just as an aside here. There are a couple of NBL cars, which were also on the launch as well. I actually had an NBL on the second day, which is a silver and black Cooper. OBL, basically because they were all registered at Thorn. And it wasn't just Minis that were on OBL plates. Most of the BMW sort of press fleet cars that were registered around that time were all on OBL plates as well. So it's not unheard of. In fact, I was chatting to a chap the other week who had an E46 BMW and he had an OBL on that But as I say, I was doing some research at the time for I was editing Mod Mini magazine. It came out to 15 years of the R50, and I just thought it was quite interesting looking back at pictures I took on the launch and wonder whether any of these OBL cars had made it out of the factory. As it turns out, quite a few of them did.
Yeah.
So, and the interesting thing is, hearing more, those cars, because they were so close to being production specification cars, they had a apparently had an area, this isn't confirmed, but I've had a lot of people tell me this, that they had an area in the Oxford plant where these cars were coming back from this use, and they were finished as whatever needed, like software updates, I would imagine, and stuff like that. And these were put back into the network as used cars. And my one came through a dealer sort of Great Yarmouth way, and it was sold as a second-hand car. And it kind of lived its whole life down there, and until it was found by an early OBL guy. Because I mean, that car, it found its way to me because the guy, I just had a guy email me once, and just said to me, he said, "Oh, you interested in buying an early Mini?" And the wire register had just become a thing. I'd kind of helped it along with that feature, talking to to John and Tanya, who are both key in sort of its inception. And you, I mean, I think once you knew about it, you were like really, really keen.
It's fascinating, isn't it? What I liked about it, still to this day, a Tamiya, which essentially is an early Mini, it's red and white, it's on the five spokes, and it has no spoiler. And when I discovered that OBLs were basically the same car, it was another layer that made me really, really want one. And actually, being part of the wire register group for quite a while before finding my car, I just loved it that they were so different. I'm looking at a note I've got here. It's about 45 features of where the pre-prod cars are different to a production car. And it's tiny things like we all know about the famous Mini logo rubber pedals, to the fact the side sill on the door only says Cooper,
Cooper,
not
yep.
Mini Cooper. Different drop lengths, different top mounts, and then you've got all the tiny, slightly annoying things, as I discovered later on. The Dunlop TPMS is different, so finding one of those is
Right.
interesting these days. But just all of that stuff, through, I'm assuming, trial and error, just got better for the actual launch cars later in the year.
Well, this is it. You could go even further. I mean, we both talked about the pedal rubbers, which is the big thing. The groove seats as well, which is another thing that I wasn't aware of until literally I spoke to Tanya that time. It was just not a thing that I'd even, but like the pedals, the Cooper badging for the side sills, the BMW fuel cap, the Rover air conditioning rad. As you say, I mean, if you were, I think my car is, I wouldn't say, like when you say about the suspension, I know for a fact that mine's had a different top mount, but you know, it's how far do you go for that originality? I mean, there's a point, as you say, about getting the bits these days. It's not, although there are still quite a few sort of R50 Coopers being broken, like things like, there are some things that could totally write off. I mean, one of the things I have in my car was a ABS module, and I mean, I knew that from the start that that's a £1,500 part from BMW. I didn't even pay 1,500 quid for mine. Do you know what I mean? When I bought it, so the only way around it, I knew, having spoken to people, was to try and buy one around it and have it coded to the car, which you can do, but. You know, there's so many things. I mean, my bonnet's wrong on mine. It's got a later bonnet on it without the earlier washer. But I mean, you've got to remember these cars, as we both know, they've lived lives, and a lot of them, like, I mean, I remember looking at mine in the pictures when I thought to myself, that doesn't look bad. It looks all right. And when I got down there and seeing the car in the metal, and it was like lack of peel everywhere and non-matching tires, and it just looked a bit down a hill to say the least. Do you know what I mean? I mean, if it hadn't been for the fact mine drove, and I took it for a test drive, and it drove okay, I think I probably would have walked away, really. You got to remember, these were old cars. They were old cars then, they're even older now, and my one possibly, you know, because of what it, people were sort of getting interested, but there wasn't, I would say, the level of interest there is now. You know, it was just an old Mini, wasn't it, really? So, the core owners, people like in the white register, just want to enjoy them and keep them the way they are. I think they're a knowledgeable bunch. As with everything, there's the other side where you've got specialists and less than scrupulous owners trying to make a healthy buck out of making cars that perhaps aren't as special as they appear, more special, if you know what I mean. Remembering how the classic Mini community reacted to the new Mini when it was launched in 2001 to where we are now, you know, it's like it's gone full circle, really, isn't it? But a fascinating thing. I mean, I love owning mine. I look at it as, you know, I'm never going to own a early classic Mini. That ship has sailed, and I haven't got that sort of money that a 59 or 60 classic Mini commands these days. I got in probably at the right time, and I've just tried to keep the car as nice as I can, really, by just trying to improve it as it's going along. And it's the same story with you, but I mean, I think maybe you should explain your side, because as you said, you kind of got into it in 2020, and we were talking, I can remember us talking then, and you really wanted one, and then it took a while, and the car you've got, I think your car's like two numbers down from mine now.
That's right, yeah, 1, 2, 4.
Yeah, so you're two down. How about that? How about coincidence?
That's nuts, isn't it? And what's funny, I don't have the original logbook, which is a shame, but I know enough about the history up until, I guess, I'm owner number 3. I know of, obviously, owner number 2. I don't know anything about number 1. But prior to owner 1, similar to yours, it was a dealership mechanic car. So it would get taken apart and put back together again. So it's like a training mule.
I think that's what makes them interesting, though, really. It's what they... also, like, to work out what those cars actually... Because there's so few. I mean, we probably should mention at the same time that the reason why there's not many Y-plated Mini Coopers was... At the same time of the launch, they within weeks they had a couple of them go up in smoke due to not earthing the fuel pipe properly. So they had a couple go up in smoke. One of which I remember when it was a guy from the Daily Telegraph who was doing the Italian job, and he was doing it with Roger Wolfe, funnily enough. And I remember at first 2001 Italian job, and they were in a replacement car, and that was only because literally. They were about to leave, and the car, again, I could be wrong here, but there was some story about it going up in smoke, and I can remember other times hearing how a couple of dealership cars that hadn't even left the dealership had issues and gone up in smoke, so they all had to...
Wow.
So one of the earliest recalls was to rectify that, and I think they put a strip inside the tank to stop it from... So you couldn't... It wouldn't arc, obviously, off against when you were filling up and it would go up in smoke. So, obviously, those early cars that perhaps the first owners that would have had them on Y-plate ended up waiting a matter of months. And because I think, I could be wrong, or either production was stopped or it was slowed while they tried to work out a solution.
Yeah.
And I mean, don't forget, this was all around the massive build-up and hype when the car was launched. So they were getting orders left, right and centre. So they, you know... I know for a fact there was a big glut of cars that went on the new registration, because there was this changeover from the letter to numbering system. And from that sort of... Was it August or was it September? I suppose it was September, wasn't it? But yeah, and that's the reason why Y cars are probably more sought after, because obviously they're early numbered, but also because there wasn't many of them. But there we go.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it's such a nice bookend car, because like you, I mean, there's nothing in my sort of lifetime as a car enthusiast that has begun or ended until really Mini. And I mean, there are a few other cars, Audi TT possibly being one, Fiat 500 again, potentially being another. But it's such a nice bookend car. And what I loved about it is the more I got into the early cars, the more I was reading, the more I was looking at just Frank Stephenson as a designer and his approach and how a lot of it aligns with certainly what I wanted to do as a designer way back in school, way back in college, and taking into, you know, the design principles I use at work to this day. There's just a lot of alignment. And actually realising that his back catalogue was X5, 430, you know, just all these incredible cars that I would say are sort of my era of car interest. There's that, you know, that little layer of nostalgia again. I bought mine blind, which I don't recommend. So I didn't actually see my car for sale. I was on eBay, had a search for Wire Edge Minis, and not often did it ping. And it did a few times. They were all silver and blacks, which I'd have been happy with because they are the high spec cars. I think one of them was 144. I think I saw a car 90. So some good stuff. And I got to the point where I was like, nope, it's got to be red and white. It's got to be red and white. And then I think you told me about groove seats. I was like, right, it's got to be red and white. It's got to have groove seats. So all these little things made it harder for me to find basically a Wire Edge. And obviously it got to the point where it had to be a Wire Edge, an OBL, red and white, groove seats, 5-star wheels. You know, this list of specificity was getting harder and harder to find.
Yeah.
And then one came up, but it was a 51 plate. And weirdly, I recognised where the pictures had been taken. And I think it was Autocar had done a piece on a guy who basically owned loads of super early Minis. And that's where I recognised the car from. So I messaged the seller and just said, out of interest, have you any Wire Edge, OBL, blah, 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 blah. And he came back saying, not for sale, but yes, I do. What's your interest? And we got chatting and it essentially transpired that this chap had 3 OBLs, one mint, one horrific, and my one. My one basically being drivable, no MOT, collapsed rear spring. But it was complete. It had lots of the bits. I got lots of photographs, all checked out really nicely, a little bit of lack appeal. But really, at this point, you're buying a VIN, aren't you?
Yeah.
And as long as that VIN's complete, and as long as it's matching numbers, or as long as it's as original as it can be, there isn't really a choice. And so there was a price. I got a bit off, but sadly I had missed the boat of cheap OBL. And subsequently I think I spent the same price again because it had top mount failure. It, like I say, it needed rear springs, and you don't really do springs in singulars, you do them in pairs. It needed a brake overhaul. All things that in some ways had my job situation in 2020 carried on, i.e. lots of working from home time, I would have enough time to maybe do some of that stuff at home. But as it was, I didn't. And I really wanted to get the car ready for a couple of shows in 2022. And actually, it just didn't happen for me. Even though I had sent it to specialists and whatever, it just wasn't ready for Bewley 2022, which was my sort of goal for that car.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
But, you know, it sits in my nan's garage. And, in fact, I was very tempted to take it to Goodwood Revival this weekend, which, for a bit of chronology, you can probably work out when we're recording this. But, again, I just haven't had a chance to try to go and get it. And it's amazing, actually, how, since 2020, children have happened for me and the interest for cars is still strong, but the time frame for cars has reduced heavily.
Well, I mean, I had mine was bought as a project and ran them through the magazine. Mm. So, I mean, I bought mine with a long MOT, but I knew as soon as I bought it, it was going to need. I mean, it was effectively a cheap car that this guy had found and knew what it was, and he serviced it. But really, I mean, I must admit, it was a bit of trepidation. I paid my, I paid just over $1,000 for mine. And, you know, I didn't really know whether it was going to be a good purchase as it was. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I suppose, I don't know, I quite enjoyed it because it was, even when it was not in the best of nick, I quite enjoyed it. I mean, I did the first sort of 6 months of ownership, it had very flaky paintwork, and I did a couple of shows with the Y register and stuff, and I really enjoyed it. It was good to drive, and I was gradually improving it. And I did have the help of a guy who I met, a guy who I will mention, a guy called A. Reeve Motorsport, who I met through Mod Mini, and I met him at the Autosport show, and he's a serious mini challenge participant, so he races across the three, you know, R50, R56, and now F56, races across all of those.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely chap, Aaron, and first thing I did, I bought the car in December, and early, mid-January, I took it down to him, and he kindly looked the car over, and he also did some work on it for me, so straight away I had it solidly bushed, because I was told that by loads of people that, because it had done 100,000 miles, all the bushes would be knackered, so I did that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a full poly, Powerflex poly bush kit in it, which I had done.
Mm-hmm.
And also the tyres, they were dreadful, they were all mixed and awful. And Yokohama very kindly helped me out with the original set. As an aside, I've just had another new set put on there, because they weren't down on tread, but they just had it. So I've got, I'm going to say thank you anyway, because if they are listening, but Falcon tyres helped me out with some tyres for it, which are now on the car, which have been on there a month. Mm. But like, tyres are so important on a new Mini. And even putting the tyres out, remember then, I mean, it didn't look great, but you probably find the same, but the first generation Mini is one of it's very, very susceptible to tyre choice, tyre, how much air you've got in the tyres, as to how good it is going around corners. And even that change, getting the right matching set of tyres with good grip and that on it was a massive transformation for the car. Yeah. Then getting it clean, it's amazing. I mean, mine was not clean. I took it to Autoglym, and I know it sounds terrible, but I think for me, having that, which sadly you haven't had, but on top of finding it as a bit of a project, there were so many people willing to help out, which was nice, because I think if it had just been me, I might have lost. And also having time as well, as you said about the kids, my two were young when that car arrived, and I just don't think it would have got done really otherwise. You know, I mean, I've thought many times about when I think we both know the big issues with R50s, and that's, you know, electrics. Mm. You know, bodywork wise, they lose their lack appeal, which you're currently going through and I've been through. You know, other than that, it's just bits. And, you know, I've had also interior bits, like most recently for me this year. I had the headlining just go. It's a common thing where the backing just gives up and it goes like a tent, and it's just horrible. I'm trying to repair it, it's just futile. So I bit the bullet and had it professionally covered, which they did an excellent job, and it wasn't hideously expensive in the end. And thanks to great people within the Y register, I had the help to get me through that. But again, you know, you talk about they are projects, you know what I mean? But new or old, it's a project. And in that respect, it's very similar to the classic Mini, these early ones. They are very special, that's what I'd say.
And I love that even the smallest jobs I do, there's a lot of satisfaction.
Absolutely.
Just deep cleaning the interior was, you know, quite a cleansing thing to do.
But you have to be so careful when you update or change anything. Like, you're deep cleaning, so you're not changing anything. Like, for me, this year, one of the most satisfying jobs I've done is the rear lights. I love the rear lights on the early Mini.
Mm.
You know, simple, very simple. But they have a clear plastic cover, and mine were original, and they just basically started crazing, and they've been like that for years. And I had someone say to me at the show, jokingly going, oh, your car's lovely, but your rear lights are, like, not so good. And I thought, well, they're not, are they? And I had a spare set, so I fitted them this summer, and it's a bit such an improvement. The only sad bit is, one of the wonderful things also about OBLs is if you take them apart, it's all the date stamp parts that you find all date stamped because they're pre-prod cars. And even the rear lights, which I have kept, have are date stamped, so they match the car. They were April. They've got an April date on them for when that car was made. So, yeah, well, I mean, yeah, where do we go? Where will they go? Who knows? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I did think that when we got to the 20th birthday of the Mini, the new Mini, I thought we would be seeing perhaps more. And there is everyone knows what an OBL is, and they do have a value. But it's like all Minis, all new Minis, it seems that values, whilst there are, there's no cheap OBL or wire edge Mini anymore. Well, I don't know, perhaps more of the dealer stuff that isn't OBL is cheaper, but you know, generally every car, find there's usually a market for that car. You always find a buyer, especially for an OBL, because they know what it is. But yeah, it's still a bit all over the place, I think, really.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
I mean, you know, I think the fact we're all enjoying them, they've lasted this long. I think it's a case of, I mean, I'd like to be even more original. Even listening to you tonight about suspension bits, I would say mine is original suspension wise. But, you know, it's how far do you go? How far do you go? I think the key things for an OBL are, if you're going to have one, and it should have the pedal rubbers, which not necessarily all of them should have and did, which with the Mini pedal rubbers are a nice thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
They've also been remade this year, which I have a set in my car by a guy off the forums. He did a very nice job, and I've kept the originals. So, again, if I wanted to, I could swap them back to the originals, but they were worn, and it just improves the interior. Other things, I think key things... You've got to have your car should have the groove seats. Again, not all of them should have. If it was supposed to have it and it did have it, groove seats were a nice thing to have.
Mm.
Pedals, the groove seats, the washer jets on the front are a nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've got a car with those on it and it's got the OBL plate, that's generally the way. Interestingly, we've talked a lot about Coopers, but you know, Mini Ones. I remember the launch of the car, there was no Mini Ones there, it was all Cooper. And Mini One was very downplayed, but there are OBL Mini Ones are definitely rarer than Coopers. Yeah,
especially the black ones.
Yeah, black and Indy Blue with colours. If you can find one, they are low numbered and they're worth... I mean, I don't think they're worth any more than a Cooper. I mean, some people say that goes on number. I've not seen... I don't think you can value an OBL car on its number alone. I think that's taking it really... That's being really picky, and I think it's difficult to do that. I mean, but there's no doubt, you know, Mini Ones, rare car. All the launch was focused around the Cooper, so that's what probably makes it really interesting. But yeah, you know, it's interesting, really interesting, and I think there's still more to be learned. But and I'm looking forward to with your car as well. I mean, you're at a stage. It's a nice usable car now, and you just want to improve it, and I'm looking forward to, you know, in the future you and I being able to go to events together with your car and mine, and you're going to be able to show yours, and I'm going to be able to show mine.
MOT as of last week, I've just got the usual bits of corrosion, so it is definitely a real Mini, and I reckon I'll be able to do those over the next couple of years. But yeah, it's certainly drivable. I've just had the wheels refurbed, new tyres. The first time I've gone non-run flat. And it's mainly because they were gifted tyres. A friend bought a set, didn't want them, sold the Mini, didn't fit his new car, and literally just gave me these tyres. And the Mini came with some terrible mismatched tyres. Whereas these are a good brand, so I thought, okay, I'm going to have to wheels refurbed anyway, put these new tyres on, see how it goes. And yeah, first time I've deviated from OE spec tyres.
So I'm on run flats, but they're not.
I was going to say, I'm a run flat fan through and through. I've never had a Mini that hasn't had run flats. I just think if it's designed for them, it should have them. But, you know, I get that my back is probably still young enough that if the ride is crashy, maybe I don't notice yet. But, yeah, I think on 16s they look great. And you know what's really funny? I was a little bit of a snob, actually, as a teenager, in that I wouldn't have owned, if I could have afforded to, I wouldn't have owned a Mini one. I'd have been like you and wanted a Cooper. And I would never have owned those 7-hole pepper pot alloys.
Well, see, I had those.
But literally, I have a set of brand new white. I love them. I think they're brilliant. And it's the Mini Challenge that did it for me.
Yeah.
Those Mini Challenge Coopers all ran the little 7-hole pepper pot. And I absolutely love the look. And I just cannot wait to drive that car on 15-inch wheels. Because on 16s, I think the R53 is fantastic. So I can only imagine on 15s, the Cooper is, you know, a real sweet spot. At the moment, it is on the 16s with the non-run flats. And it is nice. It is nice. And I do feel special, actually, in all Minis. And what's interesting is I've been lucky enough, like yourself, to drive R50 pre and post facelift, R53 pre and post facelift, and they are actually all very different, to the point where if someone ever said, you know, well, why do you have so many, or you know, what's the point of this, there is definitely a reason for each one. I kind of like the slight nursing of that early Moss box in the early R50s.
No, exactly. It's if you can keep it going, it's a nice slick gearbox. As I say, I mean, just as an aside, it might be a good way to end our chat about OBL. Just the end of August. I mean, this is something that's been bubbling under for a while, which I might have mentioned to you, but I had Evo magazine get in touch just before Christmas last year with them. They wanted to do an icons piece on R50 Minis, and they said, would the writer knew about my car and said, well, was I interested in this? And would I help them loan them the car? And I said, well, yeah, no worries. Anyway, we had all that snow last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sadly, their photographer wasn't very well. Anyway, the editor got in touch with me earlier on this year and said, well, they'd still like to do it, but they wanted to do it when it was better weather. And then just out of the blue, I had a call beginning of August offering the same, and we managed to make it happen. And I was very lucky.
Very cool.
We shot it, and it was on Evo's B660, the infamous bit of road around sort of the edge of Peterborough around that area. And we had a lovely day for it. And basically, I let John Barker loose in my R50 Cooper.
Incredible.
So it's due to happen next issue, but I'm not whether that is going to happen. Nice. I don't know. But it's in the can anyway, as far as pictures are concerned.
My dad is a subscriber.
Yeah, so something to look forward to. And in fact, it's regarded for an icon. That might also change how early cars are viewed, which I hope. And I hope in that respect I've helped that along the way, because, you know, it's a real love of the car, it's a love of the brand, and, you know, we both appreciate the early cars, we appreciate all the new stuff. Well, I do certainly do, but it's where it's all come from, and that's what makes it special.
Yeah. Perfect end. I like it. I'll definitely have a look at that episode, or rather that edition of Evo.
Yeah.
Other magazines are available, I'm sure. Thank you.
Maybe more.
All very much for listening. I think next time we'll have a chat about fast Minis.
Yes,
John Cooper Works, because I must admit that's probably where my real love affair started, and it was all from that Italian Job film in 2003. So thank you very much for listening.
Thanks very much. Catch up soon.
See you later.